Misfit Toys.
Whether you're driving to work, biking to a friend's place, or on the way to your next vacation, Amazon Music has your comedy fix covered. As an Amazon Prime member, you have access to ad-free top podcasts. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/onthegocomedy. That's amazon.com/onthegocomedy. And listen to your favorite podcasts on the go.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you from a hotel. I wrote that down wrong. A comedy condo room in Columbus, Ohio, on Monday, October 17th, 2011. That's right, the Comedy Condo across the street from the Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio. We'll talk more about that in a second, but the unfriendly skies kept me from last Thursday's movie interruption show at CineFamily in Los Angeles. Paul Fancy Tompkins filled in for me. I heard he did a great job, and they watched the original Fright Night with guest commentator... guest commentators, TJ Miller, Paul Scheer, and Rob Hubel. So I was sad that I missed that. And late that night, Paul Tompkins tweeted, "Dear Doug Benson, Jerry Dandridge." Jerry Dandridge was all in caps. That's the character played by Chris Sarandon in the film. I'm not sure why Paul wrote that, but I guess Jerry made an impression. I haven't seen Fright Night in a long time, so I was excited to see it on the big screen, and it didn't work out. I didn't like the new Fright Night, by the by. The next movie interruption is Wes Craven's Deadly Friend at 7:30 on Monday, October 25th. Go to cinefamily.org if you're going to be in the area of Los Angeles and want to go. If you're going to be somewhere else and don't want to go, never mind. I'm flying in from the East Coast that day, so wish me luck. I'm looking forward to the next March when Ides of October is going to come out. My guest today is Dan Gabriel, co-host of the podcast Best Medicine, and he's also a sport act, opening act, if you will, on this occasion for me on this particular weekend. Saturday night, we were at Zany's in Chicago. Oh, anyway, hey, Dan.
Hi.
we were at Zany's in Chicago, right? And you took on and defeated four different name tag-wearing audience members.
Yes, I played four of Chicago's finest Leonard Maltin players, and I bested them all to the point where somebody after the show said it looked rigged.
We had to roll over the prize. I was going to give away my copy of Shutter Island, and it got rolled over because none of the four people won that night. You would also got a copy of Dan's CD called Baby for Sale. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm so proud I remember that because I didn't have that written down. And then, so what happened? First, you took on Nick, who had his name written on a pumpkin.
Yeah, I like to choose the people based on the effort that they put into this.
Sure, yeah.
And Nick had spent a while writing Nick colorfully on a pumpkin in a lot of different markers. So I chose Nick, and I beat him. What was the movie that,
It was the No She Didn't category.
Yes.
And the answer was Love Don't Cost a Thing.
That's right.
And then a woman with goldfish, two goldfish in a bowl that lit
she
up.
She had glowing goldfish, and she had tweeted that she was riding the bus to see Doug Benson with her goldfish.
Yeah, and so she went to a lot of effort.
There was a strobe light in the fishbowl.
Yeah.
What confused fish those must have been.
Were the fish named after them, Emily and Dave, or did the fish have their own names?
No, the fish had their own names.
They were clever, right?
That were movie or podcast related.
Yeah, like one of them was probably named Sam the Ma'am. And the other one was probably named...
Yeah, but she gave them away after the show to some lady on the street who was coming into the next show. She was
I helped broker that deal. I was, she was like, now I got to take these all the way home. I was like, you don't want them? And she's like, you want them? And I was like, no. Does anybody want these fish? And a woman standing right there was like, I'll take them.
But you, didn't you?
I love to eat fish.
What about the pumpkin, though? Didn't you?
I curb stomped the pumpkin.
You smashed the pumpkin.
History, American History X style.
You were smashing pumpkins.
Yeah, I think you said that when it happened. People were on their feet because we were all standing there. Then, what happened after that? Then we had somebody came up and picked the category girls, man.
The other guy who had it, who stole a street sign and wrote his name on a street sign, Tucker.
Yeah, and he got the category.
It was. I remember what the
girls, man. It was girls, man, and he lost on the movie was Manhattan. Oh, no, that's what Emily lost on.
Yeah, that's what
Emily lost on. Then he played...
Because I remember the movie that I beat Tucker with.
His category was Down Under. And the movie ended up being Under Siege. And you beat him. Then you got a fourth person up there to play Edgar Wright Hadn't Seen It. And that was probably the Bloody Baseball. The bloody baseball that said...
There was a guy with a bloody baseball.
Because Jordan always gets picked in the front row at L.A., so this guy put nut Jordan and then put blood all over the baseball like he murdered Jordan. It was kind of... I didn't get it. It was a little...
But he did put a lot of effort into the baseball.
He did. So he got picked, and then he played... I might be getting the order wrong on these, but basically he played Edgar Wright Hasn't Seen It Yet. Yeah, I think that was it, because he was kind of cocky, like, yeah, I'll take that category, even though that could be any movie. But then it turned out to be Buckaroo Banzai, and you got that, right?
Yeah, because one of the clues was it has the main character is a rock star and a scientist. Like, how many fucking movies?
The guy didn't know it at all. The guy had no idea what movie we were talking about. But yeah, that does give it away. But then that's where you get into the, you know, the strategy of negative names and stuff. Because if both of you had known it from that, then you guys would have had to figure out who got second billing to Peter Weller.
Yeah, I almost went negative one name, but I could only remember Peter. I couldn't remember Weller.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, yes, that was a fun day. And then yesterday we did a show at the Funny Bone in Columbus, which is the condo Dan is staying in, is across the street from the club. We won't give away the exact number because we don't want, you know, future opening acts to get stalked. But it cracks me up because it's a number that's like, it's got four numbers in it on the door. That's not the street address. So it's... confusing. It'd be confusing if I was staying
here. I think that
each apartment has its own street address.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is such a big complex.
Yeah. But it's all townhousey, and so it's just funny to see
that. It's apartment-y, but you enter from the outside, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
It's more condo-y.
Yeah. I think it's fine, you know. We're here for a couple nights. I'm staying over at the fanciest hotel in town, and I don't want to say names, but... half of the name is a number, and the other half of the place is super. No, I'm saying a nice place. And we did a show.
Four.
We did a show at 420 yesterday, and that show Dan played against, I believe it was three people in the audience, and the answers were, in the horror movie category, it was Halloween 2, and in the girls' man category, it was Batman Forever, and Summer Blockbuster, which you got, quite easily was Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Yeah. When you said Daniel Craig, that's how I knew that.
Mm-hmm. I saw Jurassic Park 2, Dynamite, I don't think that's what it's called, Lost World, in a hotel room the other day, and I still love it. I think I like it better than the first one. Remember Jurassic Park 2? Jeff Goldblum, Vince Vaughn, when he was in his like serious movie phase.
I don't think I saw that. I remember Jurassic Park 1.
It's good. Julianne Moore. It's good. I liked it. There's not little kids in it. Like the kid, there's like a girl in it who's like a teenager, and she's good at...
Is it called Jurassic Park 2? Why'd we come back here? Oh, yeah. We shouldn't come here.
No, it's like they're going in knowing that they got to try to do something about these dinosaurs.
So okay.
So it's like a team of scientists, and you know, but of course, shit goes wrong. That's the one thing they never they never planned for. But his daughter, Jeff Goldblum's daughter, is a good gymnast. So at one point, she spins on a bar and kicks a dinosaur in the face. So that's kind of a cool way to get rid of. And then he goes, and then he's like, and then Jeff Goldblum's like, "You got kicked off the swim team." Like, it's a funny moment. But then, or the swim team, Dad, that's why I'm not on the swim team, because I'm a gymnast. But speaking of spinning on bars for no good reason, I saw Footloose today.
And how was it?
Well, you refused to go.
I refused.
You even looked at the sign of all the movies that you could go to and just decided you'd be happier just walking around the mall.
Yes, that is how I felt. There were a couple of movies that looked pretty good, but they weren't starting for a couple hours. The whole idea was that I was going to see something at the same time you were seeing something.
Yeah, exactly.
So that I wouldn't... anyway,
we got to line up our playtime.
There was no way I was going to see Footloose, and so I just decided to walk around the mall. I mean, it doesn't need to be remade.
I agree with you that what they didn't need to be made, but I think someone could have done something really interesting with it, and instead they just did that Psycho shot for shot. Like,
does Kevin Bacon have a cameo in it at all?
No, and I don't think anyone from the first movie does, but lots of dialogue is exactly the same.
But that's how you know it's going to suck, is that nobody from the original wanted to be anywhere near it.
Well, you know, they might not have wanted them to. The guy that wrote the original screenplay and some of those songs that are in it, he co-wrote it with this guy, Craig Brewer, that directed the new one. So, like, you know...
So he was like, oh, yeah, there's a way for me to cash in on the same exact pile of words?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they adapted it a little bit, but they just didn't... For my money, they didn't change enough, so it was just kind of boring to watch, because it was just like watching... It was like almost like seeing a road company of a play that you didn't really like the first time, and now you're watching actors that are less iconic... you know, trying to play the exact same roles, so it's just kind of boring.
It's a waste of everybody's time and energy.
Right, unless they did something creative with it.
Yeah, I mean, like Thomas Crown Affair is, I think, a better example of remaking something and putting your own spin on it.
Yeah, they spun it so much that again, it didn't need to be called the same thing, but they just, you know, they like to hedge their bets and try to sell people a movie that sounds familiar. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard of that. That might be good. So yeah, they're going to remake everything, Dan. There's no stopping that train.
Ugh.
Things are just going to get remade from now on, and we're just going to have to live with it. But I say just like put based on whatever in the title, come up with a new title, make a great movie, and then you know, then remakes is fine.
Or remake something from like the 30s or 40s, or go reach back a little farther.
Don't have the sold name, because the young kids don't know, like if they remade like 7 Year Itch or something, the kids wouldn't recognize the name. So then you're not getting that free marketing that you get from replaying something they grew up with.
Because
like kids grew up with Footloose, even if they weren't born yet, they grew up with it. You know, Footloose is on TV all the time, isn't
it? It's like, how angry would you get if they tried to remake Ferris Bueller?
Well, I heard a rumor that they're not remaking it, but that they're talking about doing a sequel where he's like an adult and he skips work. And I was just like, I don't want to know that Ferris Bueller has a job he wants to skip.
I think that Election was made to be Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, but like that's what he really grew up into when you're that much of a fuck up and you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And I liked, you know, getting to see Matthew Broderick play what is, you know.
You can't go through life getting your best friend to fuck up his dad's expensive car. Like, someone's going to call you on it. And there's going to be consequences.
Yeah, yeah.
He was really.
What happens is you knock up really Mia douchey. Sarah, and then she doesn't even graduate high school.
Oh, I had such a crush on Mia Sarah when I was young.
Oh man,
she's good stuff.
She's adorable and legend.
Shall we play a game?
Sure.
All right, let's play a little build a title. Since we're in Ohio, I picked movies that are filmed in or set in Ohio. Hopefully, even Columbus specifically.
Really?
Yeah, you don't need to guess what the movie is. It's just the first title. You don't have to know anything about the movie. For instance, you probably don't know anything about a film called Harry and Walter Go to New York.
Apparently, and that was made here in Columbus.
Apparently part of it was, according to, you know, the Harry always accurate Wikipedia.
Is that a Muppet movie?
No, it's, I almost said Scott Caan. It's James Caan and... what's his name? Elliot Gould. And they are, you know, buddies who go from somewhere in the Midwest to New York. It's a period piece. I think it takes place in the early 1900s. And what's her name is in it. The female lead is Diane Keaton. And it's supposed to be a comedy. Didn't do very well. No, they filmed. They probably started there. It's about two guys who go to New York is the name of the movie. So all you need to do, you don't need to know any of that. All you need to do is go pick a movie that ends with the word Harry or begins with New York. And then you're off to the races. Heavy sigh.
Okay. New York Stories.
All right. So we got Harry and Walter go to New York Stories. And then I have to go Stories. Restories. Reasons. Reasoning. Reasonable. I swear there's something that starts with, like, reasonable or something, but I can't think of what it is exactly. So I'll just go Dirty, Harry, and Walter go to New York Stories.
Is Dirty Harry the name of the movie?
Yeah. The first Dirty Harry movie is called Dirty Harry.
Okay.
I know, it's confusing. The first James Bond movie is called Dr. No.
Yeah. Okay, can I look at the...
What do you mean, look at it?
Well, you wrote it...
Yeah, Dirty, Harry, and Walter go to New York Stories.
Okay, Dirty... Okay. So now a movie that ends in Dirty or starts with Stories.
Stories. You can do this. So you can do the sound Rees, reasonable, reason. I just couldn't think of anything that starts with that. Rees. Resemble.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. Too bad there's not a movie called Reese Witherspoon. This is a tough one, I think.
Yeah. What one that ends in Dirty?
It's something dirty.
Down and dirty. It
sounds playing like dirty. Captain Dirty.
Dancing's kind
of
dirty.
Dancing, comma, dirty. You nailed it.
Storeasy money.
Ooh, nice. Storeasy money. All right. Money train. So now we've got Dirty Harry and Walter go to New York Storeasy money train.
Okay, all right. How about... Last Starfighter.
No, no, it's not a D. Dude, you know movies that start with train.
Train.
Money train.
That's not, oh yeah, that starts with train, doesn't it?
No, I'm saying the word train starts it off train, and you're good to go.
Train, planes, and automobiles.
No, there's another one that I'm thinking of.
Training day.
Yeah. And then I'm going to add... Joe, Dirty, Harry, and
nice.
Walter go to New York Stories. The money training day.
Okay. Cujo.
God damn it. Cujo, Dirty, Harry, and Walter go to New York Stories. The money training day of the dolphin. I threw you a softball on that one.
They have the dolphin tail.
Yeah, tail. Tails. Oh, shit. Tail. Oh, no. Tales from the Crypt.
Is that a movie?
Yeah, and TV show and comic book, yeah. Tales from the Crypt had a segment in it. It was a four-part anthology, and one of them was Joan Collins, was a woman who is having an affair with a Santa Claus, and the husband murders the Santa Claus or something like that. Anyway, Cujo, Dirty, Harry, and Walter go to New York Stories, the money training day of the dolphin, Tales from the Crypt. Yeah, you've really put yourself in a corner now.
Crypt.
No.
Tonight.
Kryptonite. Too bad there's not a movie called Kryptonite.
Kryptonite.
Oh,
I got one. I got one for the front. This is crazy. I got an absolute crazy one for the front.
Haiku. There's got to be a movie named Haiku.
No, but I got a coup. I know a coup.
Coup. Movie that ends in coup. Sudoku. Wait. I'm just trying to think of. Wait, all right. Let's work on Crypt.
Crypt? That's even harder, I think. Well, that's because I've already got something for coup.
Ripped.
Rip like Jesus is Greg Barron's handle on Twitter.
Ripped.
Ripped Cord, the story of a...
Ripped Torn.
the story of a skydiving accident. Ripped Corn.
I think I'm stuck.
I think you're stuck. I'm going to just add one thing, and then I think we're good overall, because I thought of, there's an old Liza Minnelli movie called The Sterile Cuckoo.
Ugh,
so sterile, I know, sterile coo.
I think we took a good whack at it.
Sterile cuckoo, Joe Dirty, Harry and Walter Go to New York, Stories, Z Money, Training Day of the Dolphin, Tales from the Crypt. Jeez. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Sterile, I guess if there's a movie that ends in the word stare, but I can't think of one.
Fred Astaire.
Yeah, let's just start going with names. Switch back and forth.
Master and Commander. Something ends in Master. Astaire.
Yeah, that's a little sterile. It's a little bit of a stretch. But that was a nice long one, and the episode was long enough. I like to throw out these things when I can, get you guys a chance to get to know the comics that I go out on the road with, and encourage you to come see us live and play the Leonard Maltin game with us. And you can go to douglovesmovies.com for all the dates. And do you have anything you want to plug there, Dan?
Yes, I would like to plug my podcast. I am a co-host of a podcast called The Best Medicine. My co-host is Robert Duchesne, and we have different guests on, comics usually, and we solve people's problems that they email us. So you can check it out at thebestmedicinepodcast.com, or it's on iTunes. Just do a search for Best Medicine. And Doug's been on the show, and in a couple of weeks, Larry Miller's going to be on.
Oh, fantastic. Larry's great. He was awesome in his cameo in Pretty Woman.
That was a long time. He's done.
I just saw him recently in Nutty Professor 2 as the principal.
He's in everything.
Not principal. Is it a school? Movie. The dean. He's the dean.
He's always the dean or the principal or the teacher or the dad. Or he's in every movie.
Yeah, he's really nice. Such guy, a nice and guy. Really good actor. Great, amazing timing and smart dude. All right, thank you, Dan. Thank you, listeners. As always, Jerry Dandridge is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hi, I'm stand-up comedian and sex symbol Tig Notaro.
And I'm actor and writer Cheryl Hines.
Before Cheryl and I got into the big business of podcasting together, we were just simply friends.
And we're still friends. But now we talk about a different documentary every week on our podcast, Tig and Cheryl, True Story. We've covered everything from true crime to Britney Spears to My Octopus Teacher. I'm just laughing because that My Octopus Teacher was crazy.
I found it more interesting that his son... now had a stepmother, and it was an octopus. We also, Cheryl, tell stories, go on tangents, and generally make our sides hurt laughing at each other.
So whether you love documentaries or just want to hear us slowly lose our minds, check out Tig and Cheryl True Story wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, cool.
Hi there, I'm Jimmy Pardo, host of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. It's a show that's been described as hanging out with friends you never knew you needed. Well, each week I get together with my co-host, Matt Belknap, and great people from the worlds of comedy, Broadway, music, TV, movies, you get the point. Hey, Matt, give me some examples of who we've had on.
Oh my God, Jimmy, we've had comedy legends like Conan O'Brien, Amy Poehler, and Sarah Silverman, Hollywood royalty like Rob Reiner and John Hamm, and members of classic rock bands like Styx and Kiss.
Hey, Never Not Funny's been around since 2006, so we must be doing something right. So why not join our nonsense each week? Never Not Funny,
the fastest hour in podcasting.